Isn't this a sports show?
A couple of things. One from Brady on YouTube says, oh, so weird to look at you all after all this time listening on the pod. Yeah, there's a chance you've never seen us before, and this is what we look like. Three of the five hottest dudes on Twitch.
Almost entirely.
Unzip for the camera, Rudy.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Now, Beards, you did say slash and not plus. Are you only playing video games in either a hoodie or pajama pants?
I'll leave that to the imagination.
I would rather you leave less to my imagination.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
I would like less imagination in this segment. I've got Beards now getting out of a bath and then Winnie the Poohing while he's playing video games on the couch. This sucks. This is a stupid bad show and I hate it.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Happy Friday. I hope you're enjoying playing video games in either your pajama pants or your hoodie. Not both. Never both. As you listen to this edition of Almost Entirely Sports. Wrapping up the week here tonight on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe with Rudy Salazar, Beards McFly, the whole gang together still. And Rudy has made it through another week of working both the morning and night shows. Beards has gotten through the challenge of wearing both a hoodie and normal pants at the station.
You're a hero, Beards.
I'm really proud of you. Lebo gave you a stern talking to after that incident last week, and you really, earlier this week, and you really, you really accepted the challenge, and I'm proud of you.
And well, he's not here now.
No, but the Facebook camera is. So don't want to get taken down.
Just keep it up high.
The camera.
Yeah, the camera.
Nothing else.
Keep the hoodie down low. Real low.
We'll have Mick Schaefer to close out the week here in a couple hours. Matt Verderam of Fanside will join us in an hour. And Dwight Howard's on the Sixers?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
When did that happen?
This year?
How long has Dwight Howard been on the Sixers?
So you don't remember this?
Here we go.
You don't remember this?
No, I'm not doing this at the top of the show.
No, just really quickly, because this is funny.
No, I have no memory of this.
He had a tweet where he was like, Lakers fans, I'm coming back. And then he deleted it, and then he signed with the Sixers later that day.
I remember the tweet being deleted. I didn't remember that he ended up with the Sixers.
I think it was that same day.
Wow. No, I just learned that just now in real time.
If you get yelled Dwight Howard, I get to say that Michael Porter Jr. is 21 points at half.
Yeah, what's his plus minus?
I mean, probably pretty good because they're playing the Cleveland.
The Cleveland?
The Cleveland.
Basketball team. Yeah, the Cleveland baseball team, the Washington football team, and also apparently the Cleveland basketball team. We're not going to talk about either NBA basketball or Cleveland sports in any way.
Jokic is also good, and I'm done.
Fair enough. That's fine.
And the Nuggets have 69 points at half.
Okay.
It could be better.
Would have been cool if they would have broken 70.
You guys suck.
What do the Cavs have?
I think 52.
Nice.
I figured you'd go there.
What I think might be most interesting, we talked a lot about quarterbacks last night, and that's going to be, whenever we're all reaching for an NFL topic, that's going to be the easy one to go to this entire offseason.
Well, it's because we might literally have, but we still need to see it play out, but we might literally have an offseason that we've never seen before.
Yeah,
You don't see quarterbacks of this magnitude. And like we can make fun of Wentz or what Stafford is or
and
is
we
at
will.
This point.
And we will.
But like it's still a high-profile quarterback.
For sure. I mean, the sort of counter view to that is think about what we did last offseason in terms of football quarterback talk. It wasn't who's getting moved. It was, is Dak going to get paid or not?
Yeah.
Right now, we are really talking about starting quarterbacks switching teams in a way that we've never seen if it does play out in kind of the most chaotic way, where we've already seen it with Goff and Stafford. Deshaun Watson seems pretty likely. Carson Wentz, and in a way, Phillip Rivers, right? Jalen Hurts, I suppose you could also bring in terms of, you know, different quarterbacks from week one last year to week one upcoming this year for all these different teams. All the rookies coming in, you know, Sam Darnold.
It'll be interesting to see what Philly does because, like, if I was them, I I think I might be looking to use those extra capital that we just got and go make a move.
We wanted to talk about that some last night, and then we talked about Jaylen Brown for two hours.
It happens. So. I also forgot that Frank Reich was Wentz's offensive coordinator in Philly, and obviously the Frank Reich's offensive coordinator is now the new Eagles head coach, and there's just kind of an Ouroboros going on there between the Colts and the Eagles.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, yeah, that's why this trade was always going to happen.
Yeah, and it's why it made some amount of sense I can see how it made sense to Frank Reich. Because he said, you know, I got the best out of Wentz. If I get that again, blah, blah, blah. We may circle back to him at some point.
3 years ago. But. Right.
But the more interesting thing, and this is way less concrete, but more interesting, I think, in some ways. At the very least, it's absolutely more applicable to the Kansas City Chiefs. There are a couple of places where I think it would make a lot of sense for Deshaun Watson to end up this offseason. He wants out of Houston, obviously. We've kind of tiptoed around why Carolina makes sense, what they may be willing to give up. You get Joe Brady and Deshaun Watson for 1 year before Joe Brady gets a head coaching job somewhere, but you get him in Matt Rhule and kind of that attitude in that organization with Deshaun Watson. Makes a lot of sense. Would be a lot of fun. Wouldn't impact the Chiefs very often at all, obviously. You have the San Francisco 49ers. Get Watson and Shanahan together. That offense could be really, really smart. Makes a lot of sense. Wouldn't impact the Chiefs all that often. And then you have the team very, I was going to say near and dear to our hearts. That's not really true. Very near and dear to our standings, to our interests in the AFC West. And a team that's gotten a little bit of buzz just over this last week. And I saw two tweets that especially brought this to the top of my radar today. What if Deshaun Watson ends up with the Denver Broncos?
Ah!
It was sort of a rhetorical question, but answered in a very literal way that I think is actually just about right. It would not be the end of the Chiefs' reign in the AFC West the moment that trade is made, but it wouldn't be good for Kansas City. I think there's a lot of space kind of in that realm of somewhere between, oh man, the Chiefs aren't even favorites next year and this doesn't matter to me at all. And I know that talking predominantly right now to Kansas City Chiefs fans means that I need to kind of explain why it would matter more so than this can't touch us, we're perfect. Because, you know, Super Bowl loss notwithstanding, we got a pretty confident fan base around these parts right now, justifiably so. And very few things really do matter in terms of bringing a team from a 4 to an 8, which I think is what the Broncos are at right now and would probably end up being with Deshaun Watson. And maybe to be a 4 to a 7 or whatever. But, you know, for Carson Wentz and the Colts, we're talking about the Colts going from a 6 to a 7 or a 7 to an 8 if things go well. Dragging a team out of the bottom of a division and making them an immediate contender is really difficult. It's why we're going to keep having these conversations around Deshaun Watson, because this type of option just isn't there for teams who failed to draft Deshaun Watson very often. The team that drafts the right quarterback keeps the right quarterback unless something crazy happens. Kirk Cousins was having money thrown at him because he made it all the way to free agency.
He liked that.
He did like that.
We talked about Dak all last offseason because he has the potential to hit the open market. By the way, we're not talking about Dak at all right now, which is kind of interesting. Obviously, he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And
I was
going to
say,
why.
I mean, he also, you know, broke his ankle.
But
it was
a lot
just
of the
cramp beards.
But a lot of the conversations we were having last offseason should probably still be being had about Dak Prescott right now. It's a little more complicated, and he's a little more out of sight, out of mind.
Just need some water and maybe a banana.
But are you doing a Jerry Jones impression? Or
because it was just a cramp.
I don't know what that's a reference to.
Tony Romo, after it happened, said, "I think he's just cramping."
Did he really?
Yeah,
that's too bad.
It was a broken ankle, but as he laid there with his ankle bone pointing in a weird direction, Tony Romo was like, "I think he's cramping."
In addition to the broken ankle?
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably
true. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, if you break your ankle, you probably do cramp up at least a little bit.
Maybe Romo was saying, I think he's cramping along with his broken ankle.
Yeah, maybe.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
I like Romo.
But we've had all those conversations about Dak last year, and we had all the conversations about Wentz yesterday, and it ended up being a conversation about Sam Darnold somehow. And all of those guys are a fraction of Deshaun Watson, and not a big fraction, not 9/10. The impact those guys have compared to Deshaun Watson is arguably negligible. It's a big difference. And there have been some things that have made it sound like Watson is interested in Denver, and some things that make it sound like he's not likely to actually end up there. I think, obviously, the Texans are not going to trade Watson in the division. It seems like it's probably unlikely they'll trade him within the conference. But if the Broncos have an extra first-round pick that the Niners aren't willing to give, they should probably take the extra pick.
Do you see the report that Deshaun Watson was now willing to, like, maybe not go to the Jets because they might not be so good?
Yeah, no, there was a report from, I think, Jeremy Fowler had it most recently, saying that Watson was intrigued by the Broncos and Niners, and then he probably wasn't willing to go to the Jets. But a lot of that is posturing. I mean, there's a lot of conjecture throughout all of this that I don't want to put too much weight into.
For sure, there is just a sense of, like, if the thought that, like, hey, maybe the Jets aren't the team that a player would any
because,
like,
makes sense.
The Broncos weren't a good team last year, but they have Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, right? Like, there are things there that make them go, oh, that's enticing. Jets have nothing.
So the two things that came up today that I think is interesting, there's actually a third thing. I don't know if Beards knows about the audio clip.
Probably not.
Clip.
No?
There's an audio clip in my folder.
Oh. Okay.
I can keep talking. I don't need it just yet.
That's fine. I'll go ahead.
But
and
right
it
now
up.
Would okay. be nice.
Yeah.
But the two things that came up today that I thought were really interesting that, again, kind of brought this up the radar. Woody Page tweeted this, quoting John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. He said, quote, I'll guarantee you the Denver Broncos will not get Deshaun Watson from the Texans. That's Woody Page quoting John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. John McClain knows what's going on in the Texans organization.
Mm-hmm.
I am willing to take that and assume that he knows what he's talking about. Also, lots of things change, and I don't know what the logic behind that would be, but that's just sort of like Exhibit A. But then Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus, and frequently on the program here on Sports Radio 810, he tweeted this about just the idea, independent of if it's going to happen or not, but what if Deshaun Watson did end up in Denver? He tweeted, the prospect of Watson going to Denver, along with the switch from two buys in each conference to one, meaning first-round buys in the playoffs, would not be a great development for Kansas City. KC is still the favorite in the AFC West with Watson, Herbert, Carr in the mix, but it's just muddier getting the one seed every year. And that's the one thing that I think might be the most important immediate changing factor if that move was to happen. Now, look, it also makes the Broncos more likely to contend in the division by a factor of a bajillion. Their chances of actually winning the AFC West with Drew Locke are probably near zero, and their chances of winning with Deshaun Watson are far away from zero. They're not outpacing the Chiefs. The Chiefs have the better roster and the better quarterback and the better coach than even the Deshaun Watson Broncos, and you're talking about them having to still give up some assets to get him if that were to happen. The Chiefs still have a lot of advantages, but not by nearly the margin that they do whenever the other team is trotting out Drew Locke. You also have the Chargers in the mix, who have drafted their quarterback, did not need to give up a billion assets to get him, are not paying him a giant veteran contract right now. That team's arrow is very firmly pointed in the right direction, even though we don't even know about, like, their head coach right now. There's a lot we don't know about that team and the direction that they seem to be headed in a very, like, literal sense of just what's being built there. But they got the right quarterback. Mm-hmm. They have the guy that is, at the very least, worth spending the next 2 years to evaluate and to let him fly, because you're pretty sure that the result there is going to be pretty good.
And weapons for him, which is always
absolutely
important.
Then you also have Vegas, which is, let's say that Watson ends up in Denver. I think that the Raiders end up being the least interesting team out of that group in the AFC West. They've beaten the Chiefs recently, you may remember. John Gruden seems to have a little something for Andy Reid, a little something for Spags on a regular basis. That's a team that makes sense as a pushover and then doesn't end up performing like one. They got ups and downs. Derek Carr is not any of those other dudes that we've talked about here today. They don't have all the weapons to keep up. They don't have all the defensive talent you would need to keep up with these teams. But they're no slouch. If the Raiders are essentially the worst team in your division, or they're the team that you think has the least potential, that is a damn good division. And so even if that doesn't strike fear in your heart in terms of winning the AFC West, it should register to you that the more the teams you play twice every single year improve, the more difficult it's going to be for you to sweep the division in a way that Andy Reid is so used to doing. Where you just go, well, yeah, AFC West games, I'm just going to assume the Chiefs are going to go 6-0 in the division, because that's essentially what Andy Reid does. Even when the games are a little tougher, sometimes you end up having the upset like we did against the Raiders earlier in the 2020 season. But if you're now dropping half of those games, because Deshaun Watson can get you once. Justin Herbert might be able to get you once. The Raiders just got you once, and I'm still not totally sure what happened there. You're now talking about going from zero losses in the division, maybe to one, maybe to two or three. Well, now, whatever is happening in, let's say the AFC East. What if the Patriots don't get more interesting? What if, if they don't bounce back, the Jets aren't going to be good for a little bit still, at the very least. And let's say the Dolphins don't ever take a step forward because they stick with Tua and he never develops. Well, now maybe you've got the Bills going 5-1 in their division, and the Chiefs are taking two or three losses against teams with great quarterbacks, because that is the way that you beat a team with a great quarterback. You get a great quarterback and you build around him. It just makes things tougher. You'd rather be in the AFC East in the Bills' shoes than in this fictional AFC West we're stitching together now. As things stand currently, it's all relatively even. You can look at the AFC North, where the Steelers are probably on the downturn and they're either going to lose their quarterback soon or have already kind of lost their quarterback or going to have to find their new one. But if you're the Ravens right now, the Browns and the Bengals at least figure to be also kind of giving you a fight. And maybe it won't ultimately matter. Maybe the Chiefs will be fine in the division forever. And again, they'll be the favorite in the division as long as Patrick Mahomes is playing football. I mean, they're going to have a Patriots-esque-like run in the AFC West until Patrick Mahomes goes and wins his seventh ring in let's not say Tampa. Let's say Arizona. We're going to put him on the other side of the country. He goes to San Francisco, whatever. That would be kind of fun, because it would be the inverse of all the Niners Chiefs things. Fun is the wrong word, probably. It would still probably be miserable, but it would be kind of like ironic. Anyway, it's something that if you're a Chiefs fan, the entertainment value of the AFC West goes up with Deshaun Watson as the quarterback of the Broncos, but everything gets a little more difficult, and you should pretty much just be rooting against that happening.
Also, Broncos fans become even more miserable than they already are.
Also true. Also fair. More confident. They would actually have a quarterback instead of lying to themselves about having a quarterback, which wouldn't be fun. I don't know what John McClain knows, why he thinks that it's definitely not going to happen. Again, you should essentially be rooting just against it. Mm-hmm. Wherever Deshaun Watson goes, him going to the NFC would be great. Eventually it gets to the point where the AFC becomes an annual, maybe a serious three-team race. Because nobody in the South seems like they're really going anywhere. Nobody in the AFC East outside of the Bills. The North is going to have to run through Baltimore until it doesn't anymore.
I think actually Cleveland might run it a lot. Two running backs.
Does Rudy have a hot, spicy Browns or the class of the division takes? Then it was a joke about running the ball.
It was, but also I like Lamar Jackson. I do wonder if he has hit his ceiling as a passer.
Mm-hmm.
And in all seriousness, like I look at the North at the very least as I could see that going back and forth between Cleveland and Baltimore.
Sure.
Like if you told me the next 10 years it was 5-5, I'd be like, you know what? It wouldn't be surprised. I think Pittsburgh's about to go through a rough stretch.
That I think is probably true.
Because they seem to think Mason Rudolph's the guy.
Good luck.
And goodness, he's not the guy.
So just question real
quick. Sure, yeah, go ahead and ask it.
Do the Steelers
go ahead,
have
it? Toss it up in the air. Let's hit it out of the park,
do
baby.
Do the Steelers have enough to get Deshaun Watson?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I haven't heard anything about it.
They traded picks to Miami for Finkamitz.
Yeah, Finkamitz Patrick.
Yeah. For Minka Fitzpatrick. I don't know their exact draft capital, but I don't think Pittsburgh has. I'm sure they've got enough to make an offer, right? But like I think there are a handful of teams that have that could just easily make better. Better offers out there.
I just don't want to have the Nam style flashbacks of those Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell games in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
No.
It would be better than him going to Denver, though, is the truth of it, honestly.
There is a thing, too, where, and I know this, like, it. I don't know if it should matter, but, like, it just doesn't
feel like.
This
would also all apply to the Raiders, by the way.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like a move Pittsburgh makes, right?
Literally everybody should, so I don't know.
For sure, but Pittsburgh, and part of some of this, and again, some of this it may just simply be the fact that they've never had a chance to trade for a Deshaun Watson type, and mm-hmm. so, like, you just, none of it matters. They're just not the team that typically goes out, and part of this also may be because they've had Big Ben for majority of my life,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They just don't, I just never get the feeling that they're going to necessarily go make that splashy move for the quarterback, but like, hey, they may be like, this is different,
right.
which is what they should do. But
they've just had their guy for 1,000 yeah. years, so it also doesn't feel like something that the Patriots would do.
Yeah.
But it's because the Patriots have had their guy for our entire lives. Yeah.
I think that's probably why it doesn't feel like their type of move.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Z-Man on Twitch, the Texans this year are a better team than what Denver would have been with Watson. I don't agree with that. I think they're comparable, but I think you have more actual weapons, and I'm a little more bullish I'm a little more bearish on the Broncos weapons than most, but like I think that having Jerry Jeudy is and having Cortland Sutton is worth something.
He's talking about the Texans like this upcoming year.
I think
like,
he meant
right?
last year.
Okay, because I was going to say, because like, if he's talking about last year, they at the very least do have Will Fuller, who is a weapon, but he's the only weapon.
How many games did he play last year?
Well, that's the other thing, right? Will Fuller. Will Fuller might have actually been his, like, I feel like this last year might have actually been the year he played his most games. Or wait, did he get a PED suspension? He might have got a PED suspension this last year.
11 games.
I think he got suspended. I think this was the year where he didn't get hurt, but he got suspended 4 games for PEDs.
Let's find out.
I could be wrong. He was suspended 6 games.
He was suspended in December.
Yep. This was the year that he didn't get hurt, but got suspended 6 games for violating NFL's PED policy, which is a great, like, just.
Did it get, I guess they're counting that. Well, no.
5 games this year, 1 game next year. So I think it was the last.
That's right. It was in December of 2020.
So this
that's
like,
right.
This was the year that he actually managed to stay healthy, and then he gets suspended.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But yeah, but like even if you look at the Texans last year with Will Fuller, who is a very talented wide receiver, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy are outstanding.
And then
and KJ Hamler
like,
is like a if KJ Hamler is your third receiver, that's a nice weapon.
And Denver's defense is obviously going to have a bit of an overhaul of its own as Von Miller's on his way out.
But Bradley Chubb
You've got some legitimate pieces in there.
Justin Simmons is a great safety.
The specifics of look at this team with a great quarterback, and now imagine that quarterback going over here. I think oftentimes we don't take enough of that power with the quarterback. I think you would have seen in a Deshaun Watson-less 2020 Houston Texans, I think you would have seen that team just absolutely disintegrate even
absolutely.
More than it did.
Yeah.
And it already disintegrated. Aren't the Texans picking above the Broncos in the draft?
The Texans are not picking. Well,
or
their pick.
Spot. No, their spot would have been.
Their spot is 3, but they traded that pick to
that's
Miami
right.
for
Tunsil. Laramie
Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil.
So I mean, I don't really know if that necessarily holds water. Honestly, I think maybe we're a little bit too used to dunking on the Broncos for all of the reasons that you should dunk on them. But part of the reason that the Broncos are kind of a bit of a punchline is because they, being Broncos fans typically, are out here making the argument, just like Raiders fans are making the argument for Derek Carr, that Drew Lock is actually going to be that guy. Mm-hmm. And he's not. We've seen enough to know that at this point. I feel really confident.
I think they've seen
enough
to know that at this point, too.
You should go dive a little deeper into Twitter sometimes, or go back into the Reddit on, like, Reddit is too pessimistic, I think. You need to go to Broncos Facebook at some point, Beards. Go to Broncos Facebook
no,
and
thanks.
Say something bad about Drew Lock. Like, Dolphins Twitter is insane. Every once in a while, Alan Pupar, who's on the show with us earlier this year, or late last year, whatever, I see him retweet stuff from Dolphins fans all the time, where they're talking about how, like, they shouldn't go get Deshaun Watson because they've got Tua, and it is delusional. It's delusional.
Yeah.
But fan bases, whenever fan bases are sold that their quarterback is going to be the Messiah, you're going to try to convince yourself that that's actually true for an incredibly long time, because as soon as you have to admit that it's not true, it makes your jersey purchase seem stupid. It makes all the faith you had in the organization feel flimsy.
Yep.
That kind of stuff happens all throughout, all sorts of conspiracy theories and all sorts of like that. Well, you know, it's why whenever there's a doomsday date that's in a calendar or in a cult or whatever, and it doesn't, that's not doomsday. Doomsday doesn't ever get called off. It just gets pushed back. It's like, well, give Tua more weapons. It's actually going to be December 21st, 2014. Give Tua an offensive line in front of him. You know what? It's not Drew Lock's fault that he stinks. You're always going to end up kind of moving the goalposts in a way to keep yourself believing that maybe you weren't wrong whenever you drafted him however many years ago. That's sort of the psychosis of thinking that you've got the quarterback. And wanting to desperately. Think about how many times, you know, we've talked ourselves into Matt Cassel.
Yeah, we did.
We talked ourselves into Matt Cassel.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, you know what else? I don't want to say we, because I guess I don't want to necessarily just throw other people involved in this.
Yeah.
But I talked myself into Brady Quinn. I 100% had kind of talked myself into Brady Quinn.
Also, the Broncos went 5-11 with Drew Lock.
Yeah.
I think we have to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
They're at least on par.
Here's the thing, and like I'm seeing people like Z-Man and them putting out, like, obviously, yes, the Broncos would have to give up draft capital, maybe a player is involved or whatever.
And they got to pay him the quarterback deal, sure.
At the end of the day, that is still an offense that's going to have Deshaun Watson, Jerry Jeudy,
yep.
Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, KJ Hamler, Philip Lindsay. They've got their tackle, Garrett Bowles. So they signed him to a long-term deal. They've got Dalton Reisner at guard. Like, that's, again, the defense is trending in the wrong direction, absolutely, for sure. That's a scary offense.
But, and also, though, again, the thing that I would just urge everyone to remember is think about what the Texans' offense looked like without an offensive line in front of him, but he had DeAndre Hopkins. Or with a little better offensive line without DeAndre Hopkins. Or with an offensive line collapsing again and no DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Having the quarterback, listen, you can say, well, yeah, it would cost him draft picks, it would cost him salary cap space, and that's true. It's not the perfect thing to do is to draft that guy and to have him on the rookie contract. But if you're not going to be able to do that, and if you haven't done that, but your next best option is to lock that guy up with your franchise for the next decade, that's literally the next best thing that you could possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
We are not really having a serious conversation about Patrick Mahomes' salary cap hit. You know, like, it's going to be a part of the conversation, but no one is second guessing. It's never a drawback.
Well,
yeah, it's just an element of the deal you have to take on.
Some people are. Because there's just always going to be those couple people, right?
Sure.
Like, yeah, like, there's never going to be the 100%. Like, I've had enough people call into the station when I'm running the board and talk about it. And by enough, I just mean, like, maybe once a week or something, like, after it was signed. So it happens. But, like, 99% of people, like, you don't care.
I'm worried about that.
Because Patrick, at the end of the day, like, that's he's Patrick Mahomes.
You're either going to pay your elite. The problem is if you pay a non-elite quarterback.
Yeah, it's
paying
when you pay
an elite
Jared
quarterback
Goff.
Is not that right. It paying
yes.
Jared Goff or Jimmy
Carson
Garoppolo
Wentz.
Or Carson Wentz or whoever at this point, Ben Roethlisberger,
maybe Lamar Jackson. Like, we'll see with him
we'll
and what he's
out.
Able to do going forward.
But paying Deshaun Watson is not going to be the reason your franchise isn't good. It's going to be for all the things surrounding it, which the Texans have really dove face first into. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, we may take a few questions on the topic that have popped up on our Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live videos. Or maybe we'll just talk about it amongst ourselves, or maybe I'll get distracted by finding out that some other former NBA stars on the 76ers.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Watching good teams lose with their poor quarterback play is kind of sad, except for whenever it's the Broncos, and then it's hilarious.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I love our Twitch commenters very much. I'm making that clear on the front. And also, our emotes have still not been cleared, and I'm sorry. I don't know what to do about it. I've written several very angry letters to Twitch HQ, by which I've written them on some notepad paper, put it in an envelope, just wrote Twitch on it, and then put it in a mailbox without a stamp or anything.
It'll come.
It'll get there eventually.
Yeah, just gotta be patient.
Maybe by next week we'll have the custom emotes. But I gotta say, I just think that to get to the point where you're trying to talk yourself out of Deshaun Watson being a good thing for Denver, even I again, not that the money and the picks are not a part of the conversation, they are. I just think that the math is still very, very, very lopsided in favor of, oh yeah, that would be a positive thing. In fact, Beards, can you pull up the audio that Rudy had grabbed earlier? Damian Woody talked a little bit. I've got a fun Chiefs topic that we'll circle back to in a second. But Damian Woody talked a little bit about specifically why Watson would fit in Denver, and I'm not done talking about Deshaun Watson yet.
I really like the Denver Broncos because, you know, we've been talking ad nauseum about the Denver Broncos and their inability to solve the quarterback position, but if you look at this team, look at the pieces that would be around Deshaun Watson. Denver has a good defense. And Mark Schlereth talked about the pieces on offense, particularly at the skill position. They got a couple good running backs. They got Noah Fant, the tight end, who's pretty good. And they got three young wide receivers who have the potential to be dynamic in the National Football League. So if you add a Deshaun Watson to that mix, who, in my opinion, just behind Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that's a weird cut by ESPN.
That is a weird. Yeah. Sometimes their audio they end up cutting at a comma.
Yeah, they cut it like very weird weird spot sometimes.
But the point of it there, and again, the thing that I would circle back on before I move on to the next thing, is that you're right that it's not the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes and they won the lottery or they're right now, at least through his rookie deal, they were living in a mansion with virtually no mortgage to pay.
$200 a month, utilities included.
That's right.
And you were just like, how did I find this deal?
Google Fiber's just there already, and it's got 19 bedrooms. Like, this really feels like I'm in a pyramid scheme of some sort.
Definitely in a cult, for sure.
But
you're fine with it.
If you are the team trying to trade for Deshaun Watson, you're going to have to pay a whole lot closer to fair market value for this giant mansion that you'd like to move into. But it's still going to be less than market value because there are laws in place that are going to keep you from paying actual value for a guy like Deshaun Watson. I'm losing the analogy. And it's worth it. Like, that is going to be the element of your team that you simply, you can decorate your smaller house, you can get all the fun stuff you want to have in the house, but at the end of the day, you're still trying to decorate the inside of a cardboard box named Drew Lock. You can move into this mansion. It's going to cost you a little bit. You're going to have to sell off some of your amenities and then build it back later. But that's still going to be worth it. And you could put, honestly, I don't even think you'd have to put him on Truth Serum. You would just get Brett Veach on a microphone somewhere and say, hey, after the trade happens to the Niners. Let's say Deshaun Watson ends up in the NFC somewhere. If you ask Brett Veach, hey, are you glad that the Broncos didn't end up trading whatever the Niners gave up to get Deshaun Watson? I promise you, he would say yes. He would either say yes or he would tiptoe around it, but there's no chance that he would say, yeah, honestly, I wish they would have given up everything for him because it would have been so pricey. No, it's something you don't want in your division, especially when you're doing the math of one first-round bye, already dealing with Justin Herbert, all sorts of good stuff. It would be really interesting, and the AFC West divisional matchups, there would be one on primetime television every 2 weeks. Like, you would have Watson-Herbert, Mahomes-Watson, Mahomes-Herbert. I think there's one in there that I didn't include. Maybe I did. I literally drew a triangle with the back of my pen, so maybe I did get all those matchups. I'm not sure. And then also Derek Carr is there. It'd be fun, but it'd be better for the Chiefs if that didn't end up happening. Here's the other NFL thing that happened today that I'm just gonna run it out there. I will preface this by saying this is a bit of a shrug for me. You could find me an argument either way. But the Eagles released DeSean Jackson today. Freed up some cap space. He was making way more money than he was producing for. He's had a really hard time staying on the field, really since 2013. 2016, if you want to be especially fair, his third year in Washington. Remember that he spent 2 years in Tampa? Because I forgot about that until I saw it today. Oh, yeah. He wore the alarm clock numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he went back to the Eagles these last couple of years, and he played 8 games over the course of 2 seasons in Philly. Obviously, that is sort of line item number one. You don't want to pay a receiver that can't get on the field. But a couple reports are saying that he wants to continue his career. It'll be his age 35 season. He is not young, but also this dude has averaged more than 15 yards per reception since his rookie year when he averaged 14.7. And here's the specific thing. If Andy Reid is intrigued by the idea of bringing DeSean Jackson back, and maybe he doesn't have the speed anymore, maybe he's older than he would need for him, than he would like for him to be, maybe Andy Reid goes, nah, not really interested. That's fine. But if DeSean Jackson wants to go ring hunting, if he's going to acknowledge that he's in a pretty hefty wide receiver market right now, and if the Chiefs see a spot for him in this offense, it would not ruin my day if the Chiefs brought DeSean Jackson in. Now, again, the price matters absolutely. Now, I'm not saying it absolutely matters. I am saying the price is an absolute defining factor in if this deal would make sense or not. And the expectation would matter in a huge way. What the Chiefs actually think he could do, if they think he could do it. Is he healthy? Does Andy Reid have a role in mind for him? What is the cost? But without knowing all those specifics, and if I'm saying he does have a role, he does want him back, it wouldn't be too expensive, then I'm intrigued. Now, you have to acknowledge that he's not going to play 16 games. The Chiefs have paid Sammy Watkins with that, you know, kind of in mind for the last few years already. But if you are going to say maybe he's cheaper than bringing Watkins back, or he's cheaper than AJ Green or something. One of those kind of older guys that might want to try to grab a ring with Patrick Mahomes. The one thing that DeSean Jackson has over those other guys is, theoretically, let's say he's cheaper. The other thing is he's not coming in blind to Andy Reid's offense. Now, he hasn't played with Andy Reid, obviously, since 2012. It's been a minute. But one thing that I think we might be taking a little bit for granted at this point is the idea that the Chiefs draft a receiver in the first or second round, and then that dude is out there day one trying to – he's running Sammy Watkins' route tree, and he's out there being just a healthy version of Sammy Watkins on a rookie deal. That sounds great, but with the exception of DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin, really, Andy Reid hasn't had a lot of those guys come in and produce on that level right out of the gate. You can be optimistic about rookie DeSean Jackson, rookie Jeremy Maclin in a version of this offense that's a decade old now, or really more. Think more about what Mecole Hardman looked like in his rookie year, or the fact that we just finished year two with Mecole Hardman, and I think if you're optimistic about him, it comes with him continuing to develop and get even more comfortable in the offense and all that stuff. If you think that DeSean Jackson could set a floor and could win enough of those one-on-one matchups and just be another option out there, I think it's got to be really at least worth that conversation.
For sure.
I'm not banging the table, but I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I
also on the rookie receiver point, because I want to make this extremely clear, because the first tweet I got back in response to this was, but they need to draft a receiver. Whatever you do with DeSean Jackson has absolutely nothing to do with what you do in the draft. DeSean Jackson is in Kansas City in this situation for the 2021 season, and he might play 8 games in that season. That might be lucky. they should still draft somebody. I am talking specifically about the impact in the 2021 season.
Yeah, when I look at DeSean Jackson, and again, this obviously comes down, it 100% comes down to the money. At the end of the day, that's ultimately what matters. But I look at him essentially as like a more dynamic, as D-Rob's replacement more than anything, right? Like, yeah. I'm not wanting the Chiefs to bring in DeSean Jackson as their number two wide receiver.
Right.
I'm wanting them to bring in DeSean Jackson really as their number 3/4, kind of depending on where Mecole Hardman or a rookie wide receiver, you know, would ultimately, however those guys perform, right? Yeah. Like a guy who can come in and has maybe, it might just be one play every like three games, but it's just that one play is, you know, 60, 70 yards down the field. But again, yeah, at the end of the day, it is a move that is money always matters. But like with Sammy Watkins, the Chiefs were clearly fine with overpaying a little bit because they just of everything else he did, right? Mm-hmm. Like there was value that made that they were fine. Which DeSean Jackson, it is just 100% comes down to like, are you willing to take essentially a veteran minimum deal at the very least, very close to it? Now it can be maybe incentive laden or whatnot, but mm-hmm. like what the Chiefs have shown, they are good with doing. But it has to be obviously. You know, obviously, it just has to be a cheap deal. But
it'd
be fun.
It would be fun. That's the other thing. It would be fun. That I think we all need to consider that it would be fun. If I was going to play devil's advocate to the idea that he could come in and be the DeMarcus Robinson replacement, mm-hmm. the argument I would
their
make
styles
is that,
are obviously very different.
No.
But,
I'm leaving that alone. Actually, the argument that I think maybe is made there is that guy should be 20 years old that is coming to be the DeMarcus Robinson role that then he eventually evolves beyond that. But again, speaking specifically within the scope of 2021, there's enough roster spots for a rookie that can play special teams and then develop.
Yeah, and this may come down to where they draft a guy, and this also maybe I'm giving a rookie wide receiver too much credit to what he could come in and do.
Right.
Part of this, I'm assuming the Chiefs draft a receiver within the first two rounds. I would just, my guess is a rookie wide receiver drafted early probably outperforms the 35-year-old DeSean Jackson. But also, as you've pointed out, rookie wide receivers have not done a ton in this offense. DeSean Jackson does know the offense. So maybe the reality is...
And the offense is very different from 2013.
For sure.
It's a decade-old offense.
Absolutely. But he is a guy who's been in the league. Like, yeah. He knows how... Like he's not coming in blind.
Right.
He has a basic foundation. He would have a basic foundation of the offense. So I'm just kind of assuming, I guess, and this might be trusting Brett Veach. Maybe this is... And I could just flat out be wrong. I feel like whoever they would draft, or maybe it's another free agent signing, mm-hmm. would come in and probably solidify themselves as a number two, which is also kind of a knock on what I think Mecole Hardman's probably going to be.
Yeah, I guess.
Because I'm not totally sold that he's going to really become a number two. I think Mecole Hardman's going to be a good NFL wide receiver for a long time. I just think you're going to look at him and be like, you know, this is who we want as our number three wide receiver and not as our number two.
We just talk ourselves into receivers so easy. I mean,
trust me, nobody talks themselves into a receiver more than I do.
Where's Jehu Chesson?
Receivers are it's always been my favorite position. Like, obviously, quarterback's most important. It's everybody's favorite. But, like, receiver's always been my favorite position. It's the position I always watched the most. It's the position I always felt like I understood the most. Nobody talks himself into a wide receiver like I do, man. Jonathan Baldwin's still the GOAT to me.
They drafted basically the wide receiver in the first round last year. I don't even know why we're having this conversation. They have too many pass catchers at this point.
Almost drafted what could have drafted what was basically a tight end and DK Metcalf, but maybe Chase Claypool. I will say for every receiver I've loved that, you know, I wish they drafted like a Chase Claypool, there was a receiver like a DK Metcalf who I wanted nothing to do with, who I was just wrong. Just flat out wrong.
Who could they have taken instead of trading up for Breland Speaks? Let's see.
Oh, I don't want to. That game's going to hurt.
I lost Breland Speaks. We'll take a break in a second, Pierce. Don't worry about it. I got to see who. Oh, Christian Kirk went one pick after. He's not DK Metcalf, but he went one pick after.
He would have been a heck of a lot better than Bashaud
Dallas Goedert.
Breland Speaks.
Dallas Goedert went three picks after Breland Speaks.
Okay, I've found Breland Speaks now. Anthony, you know, I weirdly love Anthony Miller, but like at this point, I'm just like, I know Anthony Miller. I keep thinking Anthony Miller's going to like break out. And at some point, you just got to recognize he's not. DJ Shark went in the second round that year after.
DJ Shark. DJ Shark. DJ Shark. DJ Shark. They took Breland Speaks. I got, I hate this. They took Breland Speaks. I hate this. They
Mark
took
Andrews
Breland Speaks.
Was after
I hate this.
Breland Speaks.
Could have had Christian Kirk and DK Metcalf.
Orlando Brown. That's basically it.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
The Raiders have lost four games in a row. That's crazy.
Are they for real?
I think the Raiders might not be for real.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Is Joe Flacco elite?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Rudy and I spent the commercial break going through the 2020 NFL draft because I may have said something, hard to say what it would have been, about how I feel like the Chiefs could have, I know this is something I haven't really said publicly very much, could have probably gotten a more valuable position with their first round pick in last year's draft. Like T. Higgins, Michael Pittman went right after.
You know who I really wish they would have drafted? I really love this kid when he was coming out of college, Jeremy Chinn. Like the he was kind of the knockoff I forget the guy's name already knockoff Isaiah Simmons.
He went right after
Willie
Gay, actually.
He did, yeah, and he's been great.
Just the really they could have drafted an edge, they could have drafted a tight end, they could have drafted a defensive back. And you point out Antoine Winfield Jr. went a few picks at later, could have been doing peace signs with Tyreek Hill instead of at Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
I know this is controversial, but that was not my favorite draft pick of all time.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.